Welcome to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast. Welcome folks. I'm your host, Jimbo Fisher. Joining me this week, as always, is the one, the only, Randy Darsh!
Hello everybody, I'm excited for bowl season. I'm somewhat excited for the playoffs. That was a bowl.
Come on.
Snafu that I'm not going to get into. Okay. But that's okay. Hey, if we lose three games, I mean, we're kind of at the mercy of the system. But regardless, we have a lot of topics this week I think we're going to talk about. Since there's not as many games to talk about, there's a lot of topics to talk about. So I guess we should just kind of jump right into it. Does that sound good?
Let's get it, man. We got a lot to discuss.
All right. So one of the things I wanted to discuss that I was actually just now bringing up to Jimbo, I forgot to DM it to him earlier, was the playoff selection criteria. I'm going to be honest, even though our team was kind of shafted, we weren't shafted, but you know what I mean? We were left out. I actually love how they handled the conference championship game as a criteria.
Really?
Well,
go on.
They're not going to punish you for losing. They're basically going to ignore that loss, but they're going to reward the win in your seeding. But if you lose, they're going to ignore it. So basically, they treated SMU as a one-loss team or a one-and-a-half-loss team.
Yeah.
And honestly, if we're to keep conference championship games, that's the perfect way to handle it.
I will say, for what it's worth, like it really felt impactful, the conference championship games, like especially the SEC championship game, because like, you know, the winner was going to get a bye and, you know, all that with the seeding and whatnot. I think there's still definitely value in the conference championships. This was probably one of the more memorable conference championship weeks we've had in a while, I think, just because like there is, you know, the potential for a bye at stake. And so, I don't know, man, I understand, obviously, you know, Bama getting left out and stuff probably left a sour taste in your mouth, but I think beyond that, it was pretty exciting, I thought, just in general.
I don't think a sour taste, no. I mean, we watched three games. Like, there's not, that's our fault, right? Mm-hmm. But I will say, it was, I mean, the nice thing about it was there was like five or six conference championship games that really mattered.
Oh, yeah.
That were, we wanted to watch that still had big implications. We're seeing more and more games have these big implications, which I think is really good for the sport.
For sure, for sure.
So I guess, anyway, with that being said, are you ready to move on to some of the other topics?
Let's get it, man. Let's get it.
We got to talk about the Heisman. Travis Hunter won the Heisman. You made fun of me the whole year for saying it was going
to
happen.
No, I'm not. Okay. We knew this was going to happen. I just didn't want it to happen. That's what I was making fun of. You know?
I feel like this is the one year where there wasn't really a wrong answer. I mean, if you would have told me a year ago that a defensive player would have won the Heisman and everybody would be upset about it, I would have called you crazy.
Well, he's a hybrid. It's kind of a meme, right? He does both offense and defense. And I think that's why he won, is there's that novelty factor to it all. You know what I mean? Here's the thing, Randy.
There is a novelty factor to it. I will say this. I kind of understand where people are coming from, because it's like, okay, he's not the best wide receiver, and he's not the best DB, mm-hmm. but he is probably top three, top five in both. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to play both ways as a top five player at each position, I think, is a huge thing. I think people forget, it's easy to miss how impactful that really is on a team's performance. Mm-hmm. But then again, if you look at somebody like Ashton Jeanty, he's so much of a workhorse.
He is that team, dude. He is Boise State.
He is Boise State, but to be fair, they're kind of a weirdly pass-heavy offense. But, I mean, the reason they were pass-heavy is because there was nine people in the box every play.
Exactly, exactly.
It would be stupid not to take advantage of that.
You know, I was thinking of, this is somewhat tangential to this, I was thinking the other day, we haven't had, like, real superstar quarterback Heisman winners in quite a while, like, really since COVID. Like, you know, like, there was a moment there where, like, with Joe Burrow, you know, Baker Mayfield,
Bryce Young,
where, like, it was just, like, every single season, like, that a quarterback was coming in and setting some kind of record for yards or touchdowns or, you know what I mean? It was just, like, so, it was becoming a quarterback award. And now, this year, like, no quarterback really stood out as, like, yeah, that's the guy that's going to win the Heisman. You know what I mean?
No, you're absolutely right. We're seeing, I don't know if it's lower level quarterback play or higher level of defensive play or what's kind of going on with that. Mm-hmm. But I have noticed quarterback play has been diminished in the Power Four at the very least.
I'm a boomer. I'm a boomer, and I'll say it's, you know, NIL, transfer portal. It's harder for teams to like gel together these days, I think, in general, dude. Like, I think at the tippity top, like, this is like a wider topic, man, really, but like, in years past, again, 5-10 years ago, there was always one or two teams like Bama or Clemson where it was like, wow, this team is significantly better than everyone else. And that just doesn't...
But that's directly due to the portal.
Yeah.
And the portal of the NIL, which I think is actually better for the sport overall.
Yeah.
But we're never going to see, like, those super teams from the late 2010s ever again. That was kind of a unique era.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, it seemed like every single year there was a new record for the amount of 5 stars on a team. Like, we had never seen that level of talent acquisition, talent, you know, concentration at very specific schools before.
Right.
It was considered, I remember when Nick Saban first got here, it was considered some huge, massive deal that he got like 4 or 5 5-stars in a single class.
That's like nothing.
Then all of a sudden, Texas A&M is getting like what? Yeah. Like 9?
That's obscene, yeah. I do agree. I think it is good for the sport. I think it's good that, like, honestly, even though Georgia's probably the favorite to win the playoffs in my mind, it really feels like it's anybody's game, for the most part. There's a couple of teams, yeah. Like,
it is.
Indiana's not going to win it, right? But it should be good.
You never know. I also think part of it is, okay, I know, you know, just speaking from an Alabama fan experience, we're seeing a lot of our depth players will hit the portal and go to other schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really have as much depth as we normally do because they always leave. Right. Our starters are going to stay, obviously, mm-hmm. but depth players leave. And I think, I mean, selfishly, I don't really like that, but... When I look at the sport objectively, I'm kind of glad they can go get playing time. They can develop here and get playing time. Like, mm-hmm. good for them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I get
that. That's kind of the reality.
It's not all negatives. Obviously, like, it does benefit some players. But I also think some players who end up transferring every single season, I feel like at a certain point, that's hindering your development too, you know?
Exactly. And you're hindering your own future career opportunities by doing that. If you know that you're not, at that point, you know you're probably not going to the NFL. And you know the problem probably isn't, you got to find the right fit.
Right. You're just probably not that good, actually. I don't know. You know, good as
well. Yeah, exactly. But... And they're just trying desperately to cling onto some semblance of playing time. But like, would it not be better to just stay on a team,
mm-hmm.
be patient, see if you get your shot, maybe your junior, senior year, and just develop, see what happens, stay with the same coaching staffs.
Yeah.
Just kind of let it play out a little bit.
I agree. I know we sound like boomers, dude, but, like, honestly, I was thinking this morning, like, this is such a recent problem. This isn't even, like, you know, back in my day. Like, this, like 3 years ago, this wasn't a problem. Like, this is extremely recent. You know what I mean?
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right.
So.
I will be curious, because of Travis Hunter, you know, what he did this year. So, as people know, we had Jalen Mbakwe in the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Ole Miss offered him, like, some kind of 7-figure NIL deal and promised him snaps. Wide receiver and corner.
Wow.
Apparently, he is withdrawn from the transfer portal, and we are promising snaps at wide receiver.
Okay.
So this I wonder how much of a trend this is going to be, where, like, the top athlete on the team tries to play both ways.
Dude.
Because I feel like if there's two positions you can do that in, it's going to be wide receiver and corner.
Yeah, they're so similar. You know what I mean? I totally agree. I mean, I think people in the sport really chase trends and clout, and Travis Hunter is a millionaire Heisman winner, going to be top 5 NFL draft pick type guy. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of imitators out there. Will anyone actually succeed like him, I think, is a bigger question at this point. Like, I think he's kind of a rare talent in that regard.
He is a very rare talent. It's almost like no matter how it plays out, it makes him look better and generational, in the sense that if nobody else can do it, well, then it shows how generational he was.
Yes.
If everybody else starts following suit and it creates a trend, then it's like, well, he was brave enough to be the first one to try it and really succeed at it and create the mold.
I suppose. Hey, Charles Woodson did it, kind of. A little bit.
Kind of. It was a little bit different, but you know what I mean. I mean, it's not too uncommon to see gadget players kind of coming for a few snaps on specific packages, but to straight up just be a starter in both is crazy.
That's true.
But I think that's what Mbakwe is going to do. He's not going to be a full-time starter on either side of the ball, but he's going to be able to have some plays designed for him, you know, just kind of be ready. And I'll just be curious to see how this plays out next year. I'm going to keep an eye on him.
Yeah, I could see this being... real quick, one final thing to bury the hatchet on this. I could see this being sort of a wrinkle in an offense in the same way that, like, running the Wildcat is sometimes a thing.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, so the portal is on fire. I also feel like we need to talk about the portal situation. It is not a good situation right now where this is the opening. My opinion, well, let's go ahead and give an example. Bo Priebula, whatever his name was. I mean, he came in against Wisconsin, as I'm sure you're aware, unfortunately.
Wait, which guy?
He's a pretty decent backup.
Who is this?
Okay, so he's a pretty decent backup. He's Penn State's backup quarterback, and he has to enter the portal, even though Penn State's in the playoffs and he can't be with this team. This is what he's got to do. And he's basically like, I don't want to leave, but I don't have a choice. If I'm going to get playing time and I'm going to do what I need to do, this is my only option.
Right. I remember reading
and
this.
Even James Franklin is defending him on that. He's like, yeah, this is awful. Like, he wants to be with the team, and I support him. Mm-hmm. I hate that he's having to be forced to make this decision.
Right, they gotta just cut it. They gotta start the portal after the season ends, right? They can't be doing this stuff with like middle of bowl season, middle of playoffs. Like, that's really what's
the problem. The problem is the spring semester starts pretty soon.
True. So they gotta transfer now.
I mean, I was gonna say just close the winter portal and only have one after the summer. And I also feel like that will discourage
transferring,
just constant portal hopping.
Oh, for sure.
If they only can do it after the summer or after the spring or whatever.
I agree.
Maybe beginning of summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dumb... God, it's just a dumb situation, dude. Like, the NFL...
It's easy to get disillusioned and want to say, oh, I want to jump ship right when the season ends.
Right, exactly. Which, well, we kind of have to, in a sense, because, like, coaches are also looking to rebuild their rosters. Like, it's a chicken or the egg situation where, like, every team is losing, like, a quarter of their roster at the end of every year just from transfers. And so you have a ton of gaps to fill. And so it's just, like, everyone's doing it. So everybody needs to be looking constantly to get in and out of the portal. Lose-lose.
Lose-lose. I mean, it just shouldn't be a 24-7, 365 thing. Have a period for it,
right.
But it just can't be a constant thing. And it feels like a constant thing. There's too many openings.
Yeah,
there's like, just too much going on.
There's no real off-season for the players in that regard.
Exactly.
Weird.
They need it to rest, like, even just mentally. They need the mental
like,
rest.
Like, dude, the NFL, like, the man, come February for the NFL, like, they're going to Cancun, dude. They're not thinking about football and the pros. So why are college kids?
Exactly, and that's what they should do. They need that time to mentally and psychologically just rest from the grind of what football is.
The grind set, dude.
Grind set. Another, speaking of grind set, we got to talk about Bill Belichick going to North Carolina, the ultimate grind set coach, taking a job at 71 years old. You know, I kind of wonder how this is going to work out. It's just crazy to me.
I know.
And I have an opinion that I don't think it's going to work out too well. For the simple fact that it's almost like I don't think he's going to put in 1,000% effort the way he did with New England and Tom Brady.
He was checked out at the end there, too. After Brady retired, he was checked out. So
Exactly. Or maybe he just doesn't have the step he needs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think at a certain point, he's so obsessed with football that it's all he lives for. Look at a guy like Saban, who's the same age as him, where he's got, like, grandkids, he's got his lake house, he's got his family, he loves golf. He has so many other hobbies that he loves doing. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick doesn't have that. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's just trying to avoid father time, which is undefeated.
True.
Like, he's not accepting the reality that he needs to be enjoy his grandkids and retire.
Well, and
like,
unlike...
It's not going to work out.
I agree. And unlike Saban, like, Saban can still, you know... be involved in football via being on game day and ESPN. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these guys, they retire and they end up going into, like, broadcasting just so, like, they're still connected to football in some capacity. But Bill Belichick has the charisma of, like, a noodle. And, no one would ever watch Bill Belichick speak. He can't talk. You know what I mean? So this is his only option,
exactly.
Man.
I mean, like I said, I think he's just trying to have a job. He can't not work.
Right.
And he's trying to avoid father time catching up with him. I mean, heck, he's got a girlfriend that's a decade younger than both of our wives.
Are you serious? I'm looking this up, dude.
I am dead serious.
Everyone look up Bill Belichick. He's got a girlfriend? Not wife?
Yeah, what girlfriend.
24 years old?
No, she's 24.
Oh, my
she's
God.
Only she's only 6 years younger than her wife.
Oh, my God. Oh, dude. Look this up,
He's got
guys.
A girlfriend that are the same age as the players he's coaching.
I was just thinking that. Oh, my Lord. Bill.
That's a very interesting situation.
This is... Dude, why do celebrities do this, man? I mean, I get it. But, like, on the other hand, man, a guy like Bill...
I wonder, like...
Yeah.
are women in this situation, are they, like, attracted? Is she attracted
There's no way,
to
no.
him?
The money, sure, but, like, look at Bill Belichick.
Maybe
dude.
She likes that he's a powerful, competent, smart guy.
He's a big old fat dude who has, like, no charisma. I just don't... Oh my god. At least when like someone married, like at least when like Leonardo DiCaprio does this, right? It's Leonardo freaking DiCaprio. He's, you know what I mean? Like
he keeps up with his appearance. Yeah. Like he doesn't look like a man in his 40s.
But Bill, I mean, god, dude, look at Bill Belichick in 2024, man. He's not looking too good. That's all I'm going to say.
He looks perfect for his age.
Yeah, he's 71. I don't know, dude.
He looks perfect for a 72-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. My. This beach picture you just sent me that they can't see at home.
Folks.
That's something else.
If you're brave enough, search for Bill Belichick on the beach with his girlfriend. Not safe for life. Anyways, okay. Bill Belichick at North Carolina. What do we think? Is he going to win any games?
He's going to be a typical 7-5, 8-4 coach.
Yeah.
But he's Bill Belichick, so he'll get recruits. I think he's going to be about an 8-4 coach.
Like, so basically Mac Brown, what Mac Brown did in his second time around it.
I think that's basically what we're looking at
is
here.
I think
he's trying to set it up for his son.
Yeah, I heard that too. Real quick, is North Carolina just like the new destination for like washed up coaches?
I guess so.
Why is that? Like, is it... I guess I'm maybe not too familiar with like North Carolina's campus. Like it's not that like temperature wise, right? It's no Miami, right? Like it can't be that nice in North Carolina, can it?
I mean, it's a very nice place to live. Mm-hmm. It's like probably the nicest place in the South. It's a very bustling area with a lot going on.
I guess. I picture like beaches. Like Miami would make way more sense to me for this kind of gig. You know what I mean? But I don't know, man. North Carolina, I guess, has low expectations, so Bill Belichick has that going for him.
Very true. Very true. All right. So I guess we can now move on to this week's coming up games. We'll talk about the playoffs and the bowls. Are you ready?
I'm ready for it, dude. Let's get it going.
Outside of the playoffs, there's really only two bowl games I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
We have the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl on Tuesday at 8 p.m. That's tonight.
Wait, Memphis, Scooter's Coffee.
25, 10 to, it's a coffee drive-thru thing.
Have I been to this? I feel like I once went to Scooter's Coffee. I'm sorry for derailing your point here. I remember going to this one time, and they actually shut down in Madison, the place I went to. They were terrible.
Was it good? I've never had it.
Oh. It was terrible coffee, dude.
What? I mean, what kind of, is it like trying to imitate Starbucks, or is it like trying to be fancy?
You know, it's like a lot of these coffee, like, these coffee house chains that have just like, oh, it's a drive-thru place. There's no sit-down. It's just like super in and out. You know what I mean? They just end up like, I don't know. There's something kind of cheap about it in a way. You know what I mean?
Starbucks is the only place that does it right.
Yeah.
Like everywhere else, it feels cheap and syrupy while Starbucks is actually good.
I agree, dude. Yeah. Like I think I got like a mocha or something, and maybe I shouldn't have gotten something basic like that at Scooter's, but I just remember it being really disappointing. Anyways, let's talk about the Scooter's Bowl.
I feel like this is going to be one of those years where we talk about the sponsors a lot.
We need to. They get more ridiculous each year.
So hopefully the winner of this game gets hot coffee poured on them.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be funny. So anyway, it's 10-2, number 25 Memphis at 6, or not at, but it's in Frisco, Texas, versus West Virginia at 6-6.
Hey.
I'll be curious to see how this game goes. And one of my curiosities is to see if G5 programs are going to try to use these bowl games as springboards into a potential playoff campaign for the next year. Just going to see how that goes, or rather if these bowl games are just going to be treated as glorified scrimmages. I mean, I'll be curious because like there's a lot at stake for a school like Memphis. If they can put on a good performance and a good showing, that's going to be attractive to guys in the portal.
I think this means a lot more to Memphis than it does to West Virginia, with all due respect to Saxo Steve. But just in general, I think, like you were saying, G5 schools, like this is their chance to get more practices in and, kind of make their brand presence a little bit more known, because we've seen with Boise State this year, dude, like it's, with the current format, like you can actually not only get into the playoffs as a G5 school, but, like, get a bye. It's wild. But I think it's good for the sport.
I think it's good for the sport as well. On Friday, December 20th, we have Tulane, 9-4, playing Florida, 7-5, in the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl.
Gasparilla Bowl, dude. Union I love Mortgage. The Gasparilla Bowl.
Mortgage lender, it makes sense for a mortgage lender
right, to
be a bowl sponsor, but it's so boring.
Okay, after this, we're going to go through all the bowl game sponsors. We got to discuss that, I think. As for this game, I think, dude, Florida, like, Listen, you know, I'm never big on like the whole SEC bias thing, but honestly, Florida is so much better than the record indicates, I think. Like, they had the hardest schedule in college football this year. It's insane. So, yeah, I think they're motivated to win this one, man, honestly.
I think Florida's motivated to win this game. Tulane seems like kind of a fraudulent group of five team.
Really?
No offense to them. They don't seem that great. Florida's a weirdly motivated 7-5 team.
Yeah.
You know, I have to give a lot of credit to Billy Napier for keeping things together at their absolute worst at Florida.
Yeah.
And getting them to 7-5. I mean, that's not great, but that's respectable.
They had a couple of big wins. Like, they knocked Ole Miss out of the playoffs, for God's sake. You know, so like,
yeah, and that's a huge deal. Like, they looked decent, and they almost beat Georgia, if you remember.
So
given everything that happened, I mean, they closed out beating LSU, Ole Miss. They gave Georgia a run for their money. They gave Tennessee a run for their money. Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
But I do think Florida's going to win that game. We'll talk about the bowl sponsors at the end, but let's go ahead and talk about the playoff game.
It's going to go on.
We have Friday night. We have Indiana at Notre Dame.
I'm so excited.
In the college football playoff first round game presented by Allstate.
All these are presented by Allstate, by the way.
Allstate. I see that.
Randy, this is the first ever 12-team playoff game. How cool is it going to be, especially for this one, to be a home game, a home night game for Notre Dame against in-state, quote-unquote, rival Indiana?
And it's on ABC ESPN. We can actually really test that.
Dude.
NBC is the reason Notre Dame games feel so dead.
Yes, I can't wait.
We get to actually test our theory. I'm so happy about that.
Because it's going to be loud, surely. I think for both
it's
offense and defense.
It's
got to
be.
Yeah.
So. And it's kind of a quasi-rivalry game of sorts. I mean, they're interstate. They're not rivals. I don't think they really play, but they're two teams from the same state. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine, despite being a home game for Notre Dame, there's going to be a lot of Indiana fans there, I imagine. So,
I think so, too. Notre Dame's got like a very national fan base.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. That's from what I hear, South Bend is not a huge town or even a good town.
Oh, my God. Whoa. Good.
That's just what I hear. I hear that Notre Dame has a huge fan base. It's just spread across the country.
Most of them are actually in Chicago. That's the fun fact. That's where they come from. Once you realize that, it actually kind of makes sense why Notre Dame is such a big brand. It's actually just Chicago.
Okay, well,
think about that.
I'll take your word for it.
All right. As for the game itself, it's weird, man. It's weird because like I'm looking at the spread right now. Notre Dame is favored, but only by 7 points. In my mind, I feel like this is going to be a blowout, right? Like, Notre Dame's going to stomp them.
I wouldn't put too much stock into that. I feel like I like Indiana. I know what happened against Ohio State, but
yeah.
I like Indiana, but my gut really says Notre Dame.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, Indiana is a good team. I want to make no mistake about this. Like, clearly, they have a good culture. Clearly, they have a good team composite. Like, you don't win 11 games by accident, regardless of your schedule, right? But, and this is a really, really big but, they've only played one team with serious talent, and that's Ohio State this year. And they got destroyed on the road. Notre Dame probably isn't quite as talented as Ohio State, but they're up there, right? Like, Notre Dame's a top 10 probably composite talent school. And I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up with that, man. Like, I think there's just going to be a talent gap in this game that I think is just way too much for any team to overcome.
I think Notre Dame was tested a lot more during the season. I mean, the Texas A&M game definitely a game. I mean, you won by 10 at Texas A&M. That's an impressive win. I think Georgia Tech is a very physical team.
Yeah, they stomp
it. USC can light you up if you're not careful.
Yeah.
They have been at least somewhat tested. While I feel like Indiana's schedule was very favorable for them. Granted, they did beat Michigan, who did beat Ohio State. I'll
true.
Give them credit for that. But again, the Ohio State game was like their one game season and they didn't show up.
Exactly. It's one thing that they lost. It's how they lost that really bugs me. Like, they got this, it was 38-15.
But you have to remember, Notre Dame is not necessarily Ohio State. But I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
My gut says Notre Dame's going to win.
For sure. I think it's just, for me, a matter of like,
I don't know if it's like a freezing point thing where it's like, if you can get to a certain freezing point of talent and just fundamental football, that you can just beat Indiana by 45 points. But until then, you're probably going to lose. You know what I mean?
Speaking of freezing, I'm looking this up now. South Bend, Indiana weather. Oh, dude. Friday night?
It might 27 degrees.
It might be snowing. There's a chance for snow. That'd be really cool. That'd be really, really cool to have a snowy game.
Also, the get-in price for this game is $500.
Oh my god, this is what happens when you got two in-state teams, I guess, playing each other in the first ever playoff. That's
I'm
crazy.
I'm excited for it.
Dude, I mean, it's weird because, like, on paper, Indiana versus Notre Dame, like, shouldn't be that exciting, but just in the context here of the first ever playoff game, you know, being at an actual real, you know, university stadium, it's going to be so awesome, man. I cannot wait for this.
On Saturday morning at 11 a.m., we have SMU at Penn State.
Oh, Randy, if and when Penn State wins, how mad are you going to be?
You know, but the thing is, I don't think Penn State's going to win.
I kind of feel the same way, dude.
SMU is so annoying because why could they not just get blown out by Clemson? You know what I mean?
They won the closest possible game, dude. I'm so sorry. But I did call it.
It was a disaster scenario for us.
I'm telling you, I called it.
Do what?
Here's the thing, dude. Penn State, I was thinking about this, right? James Franklin, yeah, obviously, he loses big games. But think about this little detail, okay? James Franklin usually only loses against top five opponents. SMU's only ranked 11 here. So, like, does it still count? You know what I mean? Because otherwise he's automatic. Like, that's the real question, I think. Like, is SMU actually a true contender? This will tell us.
That's kind of the problem is, you know, SMU doesn't have any really big top wins. They've only played somewhat close against top teams. Mm-hmm. But let's look at, you know, Penn State. Who has Penn State beaten?
Good question. They beat us.
I guess they beat Boy,
but they also lost to Ohio State and Oregon. Like Penn State lost to the two like truly good teams on their schedule. And so, I don't know, dude. I don't know. It's kind of a weird.
I feel like James Franklin is under a lot of pressure.
He is. He really is, dude.
I got like they like him up there. It seems like, but they're tired of being second tier.
Yeah.
Behind Ohio State.
Yeah, and now Oregon, especially. So.
Yeah, and now Oregon, who just came in and won the conference.
And so, on paper, Penn State has way more talent, obviously, has probably still a better resume overall.
Not even that much more. That's the thing. If you look at the talent deposit, SMU is way up there. It's that in a way that surprised you. Let me pull it up.
Let's look it up, yeah. I'm curious. It's just it's weird just because they were G5 like 2 years ago, you know? It, like, to be this quickly.
SMU is 25th. SMU is 25th, and Penn State is 11th.
That's not as big of a gap as I thought it was going to be.
Exactly.
Hmm.
And they have the better quarterback. SMU has the better quarterback.
That's true. Drew Aller's not good. What I'm actually curious of, I hate to bring in, you know, bias into here and stuff, but what's the weather looking like Saturday morning for Penn State?
It says 27 degrees.
Are those Texas boys, those Southern Methodists, going to be able to come in and operate at 100%?
I'll just be honest. 27 degrees is not
that bad.
Anything.
All right.
It's not that bad. It's put some lotion on your hands so they don't crack and you'll be all right.
Okay. I guess I'm just curious because SMU strikes me as like a pass-heavy team, and certainly it is a lot, generally speaking, a lot harder to have an efficient pass-heavy game when it's cold out.
Does it matter if it's cold or does it need to be cold and like snowy, rainy, slushy? Like
certainly if it's like sleet, that'll be really hard for both teams to throw the ball. And if it's like if it comes down to that, I think Penn State wins in a run game. They're just more physical. So
even though the game's early, the temperature's gonna be at least in the mid-20s and it's gonna be sunny the entire time.
If it's sunny,
so that's honestly
then, the sun will help.
That's not that bad. They could put up with that.
Okay. All right. So I'm going
all right.
Real quick, wait, who do we go with? Ahead. Who do you think wins this one? Do we decide?
I'm going to go ahead and go with SMU.
I'm going to pick Penn State. We're going to differ here. I think Penn State wins this.
All right. Next up, also, shout out to the FCS playoffs, which is on the same day. I hate that it's on the same day at the same time, because I've always loved watching it.
It's good
football. We have South Dakota State and North Dakota State.
They're good.
It's football.
They're good teams, dude. Like, those are well-coached teams. Like, yeah, I want to watch it, too.
I'll probably dual screen it. That's probably
sure, during commercials, yeah.
But anyway, 3 o'clock. We have Clemson and at Texas. It's going to be a freezing 66 degrees and sunny for this game.
Can I be honest? I got a funny little anecdote about this. I was thinking the other day, I was thinking about this weekend and kind of like planning out, you know, how excited I am for these games. And I was like thinking like, man, what a weird playoffs this year. Like SMU's in it, Arizona State's in it, you know, like Boise State's got to buy. And I was like going through like my head, like all 12 teams. And I was like, why can't I think of a 12th team? Like, am I losing my... Like, why can't I think of the final, like, the 12th seed? I had to literally Google this game because I had forgotten that Clemson is in the playoffs.
Yes.
Which I think sums up my thoughts on this game. Like, this is by far the least appealing game of the weekend for me. I think Texas is going to just utterly eviscerate Clemson.
Clemson is not good.
No, they're not.
Clemson is not good at all. Since then, using a bunch of trick plays and playing the game of their lives versus SMU to beat them by a field goal on a freaking 58-yard game winner.
I know.
Like, they had to have everything go right for them to win that game.
I just think back to week one, dude, when Clemson played Georgia and lost 34-3. Like, come on, man. Like, they haven't played anyone.
My hot take on this game is that it's going to be so ugly and so thoroughly dominated. Thorough of a domination by Texas that it's going to start making the committee or whoever decides these things whether or not we should actually give auto bids.
Oh, I think auto bids are gone in the future, dude. Like, once next year is the last year we're going to have this, right? And then they're redoing the format again. They might keep the 12 teams, but I think the idea of conference championship auto bids is gone. I think that is, this is going to be why. I think this is going to be that ugly, to be honest. So thanks, Clemson. Right. Thanks, Clemson, for doing
this. Thanks,
Clemson,
yeah.
God.
I'll be curious to see the importance of conference championship games in the future if that happens.
Yeah.
Regardless, that's a topic for another Jim Boschcast day.
Yeah.
7 o'clock Saturday night, we have number 9, Tennessee, at number 8, Ohio State. 28 degrees and cloudy.
Hey.
It's at night.
Yeah.
Not going to be that cold. That's not that big of a deal.
No, not a big deal.
I don't even know what to make of this game because it's like, honestly, both these teams are kind of fraudulent.
I know, I was thinking the same thing. It's like, neither one is really all that great. I think Tennessee wins. I'm not trying to be like doomer here for like the Big Ten or whatever, but like, man, Ohio State was just so exposed by Michigan a few weeks ago. Like, I just can't imagine that team's morale right now is like anywhere where it needs to be in order to make a serious playoff run at this point.
I agree. It's almost like everybody's accepted that Ohio State's just going to get knocked out early.
Yeah. Like, I forgot, like, you almost forget that they technically can still win the national championship. Like, it's almost like
they don't want to. They don't care to. Their season's done.
It's done. They lost to Michigan in the one year they were supposed to beat Michigan. It's just, oh my God, dude. And meanwhile, Tennessee, though, like, Tennessee isn't great, but, like,
They know how to coach around their flaws.
Exactly. They can win a game like this, no doubt. Right? Like, there's no doubt they could beat Ohio State. And so I think
they know what they are, they know what their flaws are, and they know how to play around them. This is all you need.
This being at Ohio State, like, should in theory play kind of heavily, especially with the weather in Ohio State's favor. But I'm calling it now, dude. Out of all four of these games, I think this is going to be the one where you have the most visiting fans. Maybe even more than Indiana and Notre Dame. Like, I think half the stadium is going to be orange. Quote me on it right now, dude. There's going to be a lot of Tennessee fans going to this one.
I think so, too. And Ohio State social media has been kind of talking about that. Their AD talked about it.
Yeah. They're going to
send you off. And the tickets are relatively expensive. Like, $121. It's the second most expensive playoff game for the first round. And I know it's not because Ohio State fans are excited about the playoffs because they're not.
Tennessee fans are, though, I think. I get a hunch that Tennessee fans are just happy to be here because this is their first time in the playoffs, right? And so, like, this is a pretty big opportunity for them. And Tennessee isn't that far of a drive to Ohio. So, I think it's going to be – there's going to be a lot of Vol fans in that crowd. And I think Tennessee wins. Not by a lot, but I think they win this one.
I agree. I think it's going to be an ugly game. Tennessee comes out on top because they, again, know how to coach around their shortcomings.
There you go. The playoffs are solved. We figured it out, Randy.
All right. Figured it out. We fixed everything. We solved college football's problems.
Can I give one quick shout-out to
go ahead.
The bowl names? If we need to talk about bowl names here, Randy.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I love talking about these.
So I've got a few points to make. I've got a few points to make about bowl sponsors, okay? And some of these are actually, I think, going to be kind of hot, okay? I'm going to give a brave take right out of the gate here. I don't care for the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Dude.
I know. And I like Pop-Tarts. I'm not, you know. But I think that, like, they've kind of... A lot of these bowls become very, very, like, self-aware in a way. And in a strange way, like, I think the actual true, like, craziest bowls are the ones where, like, they can, like, straight-faced no irony say, yes, we won the Bad Boy Mowers Bowl. Right? Like, that to me is funny. Like, whereas the Pop-Tart Bowl being self-aware and ironic, it just kind of like, I don't know, man. It kind of like dampens the experience to me a little bit.
I get what you're saying, where it's like, they're trying a little, it's a little too on the nose. You remember like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when it was really common and funny for the Wendy's Twitter account to be something relatable?
Yes, it's like that.
And then every corporate Twitter account tried way too hard to also be that way.
Yeah.
That's exactly the kind of vibe I get with the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I'm not going to discourage it, but they need to rein it in just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I think like the Duke's Mayo Bowl is a little bit more reeled in a way that I like. You know, because I think just, like, the bucket of mayo on the coach, like, that, it's very natural, right? That makes sense. Whereas, like, the Pop-Tart Bowl having this huge spectacle of, like, the giant toaster on stage and, you know, the guy going down and with his sign saying, like, what, remember me or something like that. It felt so just, like, you knew when they were doing that, they made sure to, like, this is going to go viral. This is going to be a big, you know, production.
It's like, you know, it's like the Iowa Children's Hospital way where it's a production.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd get Mantis in there this episode, but...
No, I like that. I like that. You know, shouts out, by the way, to the Birmingham Bowl. Are you going to the Birmingham Bowl this year, Randy? Georgia Tech's going.
What day is it going to be again?
Friday, December 27th. So 2 days after Christmas.
You know, I may try to make that. I think I should be able to. It's at 2:30 on a Friday. I'll be working.
Come on, man. It's your alma mater, Georgia Tech, playing on Vanderbilt, another SEC team. So I don't know.
I mean, I work from home on Fridays. I could just kind of, you know, leave my laptop on.
Big lunch break going on here at 2:30.
Huge lunch break at 2:30 p.m.
Could be fun. Another bowl game. I just want to give a quick shout out here. You know, people talk a lot about like the armed forces and stuff, and you know, saluting the troops here. We salute the troops here on the Jim Bobcast, which is why I really love. The Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. There's some of the
Why are they sponsoring a bowl? Why do they need to sponsor a bowl? They don't sell anything.
With Navy, they got Navy in it. It's just so funny, dude.
Of course.
It's so funny. I don't know, man. Some of these sponsors are nuts. Are there any sticking out to you here? Any sponsors you see?
There's some that I don't quite understand. Mm-hmm. The Staph DNA Cure Bowl. Is this another 23andMe?
It might be. Because isn't the Cure Bowl like a whole like cancer cure, like something like that? Like they get Staph money DNA. For... Let's look this up. Hey, it's getting us Googling these companies.
It's not even anything cool. It's a freaking employment agency for traveling nurses.
Oh, that's the worst.
Isn't that like a recruiter?
Isn't that like a terrible, like shady industry? Like traveling nurse, like agencies?
I don't know, dude. I'm not a traveling nurse. I'm just saying, it's not even anything cool. It's literally like a recruiter, a job recruiter.
That's true.
Sponsoring a bowl. It's like, come on, that's so boring.
It is, I mean, it's, man, yeah. I'm looking here now. How do we feel about the, I've always respected the Hawaii Bowl. I've always respected it.
Me too.
It's just something simple about, like same with the Birmingham Bowl too. Like, it's just, I guess like the city or like the state is sponsoring it, which is kind of interesting. And I know, I'm sure you've seen the Birmingham Bowl, surely. Like, they have advertisements for Birmingham during the commercial breaks. Like, come to Birmingham, come visit this great city, you know, stuff like that. It's just.
I don't even understand why. I mean, like, most people who live around Birmingham will say it's a great city to live in, but it's not exactly a tourist destination.
Yeah, it's no beach. Well, is there?
Why visit Birmingham? There's not really much to do here. I mean, there's plenty to do here if you live here.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But we're not exactly a destination for tourists.
Right. One sponsor I think makes actually like great sense right now is the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. Like, January's coming up, guys. Like, it's tax season, right? Like, it makes sense to be sponsoring a bowl game if you're a tax company. And even though I despise these tax companies, like, obviously there's a lot of, you know, lobbying and stuff that these guys do to make your taxes cost more. The Tax Slayer Gator Bowl I've always respected just for, you know, the hustle.
The hustle. We also do have the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl. It's going to be interesting.
So what's the deal with that? I haven't looked into this. This is my first time hearing this. I was like going down the list here. I didn't realize that Snoop Dogg has his own bowl game now. Do you know about this?
I do know about this. I don't know why.
Tell me about it. Tell the world about this, Randy.
I mean, Snoop Dogg's sponsoring a bowl game. That's really about all there is to it.
Presented by Gin and Juice by Dre. So, okay. So he has like a Does he have like a drink company or something that is like he's trying to advertise here? Like, what's he? What is he trying to sell me? Gin and juice.
Let's Snoop Dogg. Okay, so the full name. I gotta give you the full name.
Yeah,
it's the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl.
Yeah,
presented by. Hold on, I just appeared on me.
Oh yeah. He's got a drink now. It's called Gin and Juice. Not to be confused with the song.
The Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop.
Oh my god.
So there's advertising some type of gin and juice.
This is like advertising Inception.
They probably sell it at a gas station or something.
Yeah, dude, there's like an entire world of like celebrity drinks. Like The Rock has like a tequila.
Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop Citrus.
It just came out this year, it looks like.
It looks like sparkling, like, or what is it?
Yeah, I can't tell if this is like, okay. If you go to the website, dreandsnoop.com, it asks you, are you of legal drinking age, yes or no? So I'm guessing this is an alcoholic drink.
No, it's an alcoholic beverage. It looks like a White Claw of sorts.
$40? One sec, I gotta look into this, dude. Oh my god. You can buy like
It actually is, hold on, award-winning rated. A gin-based cocktail.
Okay. You can buy his gin. You can buy a bottle of his gin for $39.99. The individual White Claw costs $13.99 for a pack. A four, I think. What the heck,
that's
dude?
Pretty expensive, but you know.
They're just tiny. Whatever. I guess I don't drink... Hey, I'm the only Wisconsinite that doesn't drink alcohol. I know it's expensive, but man, I just can't imagine... $14.
I don't know. I just don't see it being a high quality good thing. Like, if I'm going to drink at home, I don't drink that much. So, if I'm going to drink at home, I'm going to drink something I like, not just the cheapest thing at the gas station.
One thing I noticed with these bowl games, I think for the first time in quite a while, Randy, I don't think that there's a Barstool Bowl. Is there?
I don't think there is. I'm kind of glad there isn't.
Have you ever watched those, dude? They're
weird because they play into the gambling thing.
They do, and it's just like weirdly, like the extra production is handled by the Barstool guys. So like, you know, what's the name of that sexual offender? I don't know. They're all creeps, dude. But like, you know, like
Dave Portnoy. That's
it. Dave Portnoy. It's like amateurish in a way that isn't like cute or funny, but just like sad and like embarrassing for the sport. Honestly, like. I know a lot of these bowl games are bad. Like, no one is craving to see North Texas play Texas State, right? But, like, at a certain level, like, at a certain baseline, it's still football. Like, these are still athletes. And, like, there's a certain level of, like, I just respect the game.
To them to treat it the way they treat it.
Exactly. And, like, even the worst bowl games, they can be good. Like, generally speaking, bowl games are two evenly matched teams. Like, these should be at least, at a minimum, like, decent competitive games that, like, any neutral fan should enjoy watching. Like, that's not a joke. Like, I'm not trying to save college football and, like, the reverence of it all. But, like, you can't go around making fart jokes.
You gotta respect the athletes and the fact that they're, like, getting up for a game and everything. No, I agree with you. Because Barstool has this vibe that's where, like, they're 40-year-olds acting like 18-year-old frat dudes.
I agree. They're way too old. Like way too old.
Exactly.
Look up Dave Portnoy. How old is he?
He's 47.
What? Dude, he's come... Oh my god. Yeah, that is way too... How old is Big Cat? Barstool Big Cat. Wisconsin's most famous alumni. Let's see. Let's look up his age.
Barstool
39. Again, like, dude, you're just way... You guys are way too old to be doing this, man. Like, that's just...
The only Barstool person who seems to have really, like, set himself apart and kind of made it work was Pat McAfee.
Did he originate from Barstool?
I believe he did.
Or is he just... I think he's of that same kind of, you know, with the boys kind of humor.
No, Pat McAfee started at Barstool.
Looking this up here. Man. I do not like Pat McAfee, but yeah, it looks like he did actually start there. Or like he intended to start there. He separated at some point, it looks like. And then he started the Pat McAfee show. Interesting. Yep. Dude, there's gonna be a documentary someday on Pat McAfee. Like when he's in jail. Like there's gonna be something. And I can't. I'm that man, like dude. Maybe we'll save this for like an off-season Jim podcast rant, but I think Pat McAfee is like a cancer to the sport. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, come on. He's not that bad. He's trying to bring some energy to it. And I'm all for energy.
Dude, I'm all for energy, but like I think he's not as bad, I'll say, as Barstool.
Exactly. He's more self-aware.
But it's still, I don't know.
And he reels it in a little bit.
Pat
McAfee is the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and Dave Portnoy is the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
that's your analogy, dude. I like that. Wow. We've talked a lot about bowl games. Is there anything else, Randy? Any other names or games you want to discuss here before we wrap this up?
I believe we've covered just about everything important to the sport at this point.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to this week. Dude, genuinely, this is probably the most excited I've been for a playoff weekend. Probably since the first playoffs in 2014. You know, there's something really novel about this. And so I'm really looking forward to this Saturday, dude. Oh my God. Getting some pizza. Cracking open a cold one of Mountain Dew and just watching some ball, dude. Just watching some ball.
Me too. I'm excited. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. That's the kind of thing that's really cool is that, we get a lot of great games. Like, it almost feels like an extended version of the regular season with impactful, great college football. We get more good football.
I can never complain about that. And even tonight, hey, we're recording on Tuesday. Sorry, folks. Tonight, I mean, Memphis, West Virginia. There's games on, like, every day for the next 2 weeks, dude. Hell yeah. Like, I'm really looking forward to watching a lot of football as the grand finale of the season. Folks, I hope you at home are also looking forward to this. This should be a great weekend for the game of football. And so remember, folks, as always, Roll Tide.
I'm a customer.